Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God. And we just finished a series, a 10-part series on social paths. And we talked about everything from epigenetics to meditation to finally the homeless and what you can do about it and what the governments of the world are doing about it, which is taking money away from some people that can barely meet their apartment payments so that they can give apartments to people who are not working. And it's kind of the bottom rail on top. That was a line from a slave who had escaped his master in the South and gone north. And eventually, when the Civil War broke out, he was working for the Union Army. And they had captured a bunch of troops, Confederate troops, I won't call them rebel troops. And they were loading them onto barges on the Mississippi, and one of the officers coming on board saw this former slave of his, and he was there, part of the crew on board this barge, and this guy was coming on as a prisoner. And when their eyes met, the black man said to him, or at least this is the way it was reported, that bottom rail on top. In other words, the master is now the prisoner. And the slave was not necessarily the master, but at least he was in charge of bringing the prisoners on board this boat and moving them to a place where thousands of them died from ill treatment and poor provisions. But the reality is that I'm not in favor of slavery at all. I'm not in favor of servitude at all. I think that Americans would have been wiser if they had done away with slavery more in line with Great Britain than having the war, but that seems to be in our nature. And done away with slavery, you know, most people don't know how Great Britain did it, but they literally bought all the slaves and set them free. And of course, the same, even with that system, you would have ended up with the same problem. Horace Greeley talked about it. It's not so much that we freed the, I think he used the word Negro at the time, but we brought all people down to the same level of bondage, which is really what the Civil War was about individual rights and state rights, and that they were now going to be more and more regulated by the federal government. Now, it took another 100 years to really bring that about, and the only way to really bring it about is through contract. Contract makes the law. You can't just arbitrarily say, I'm going to take away, you know, 20% of your labor. You got to have an agreement. We see that in the Bible. Like I said in the last show that we did in that series, Egypt, the people were in bondage in this system of corvée or statutory bondage, where they now owed a portion of their labor, which you call tribute. And the slothful shall be under tribute, it says. It's not a good thing to be under tribute. But you were going to be under tribute because you didn't provide your own provisions. Why didn't you? Because you were all moving in the direction of selfishness, which is not in the direction of the kingdom of God. You're not moving according to the name of Christ. Christ is the epitome of unselfishness. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve others. And if you don't gather in your congregation for the same purpose, then you're not gathering in the name of Christ, period. That's it. I don't care what you call your church. I don't know, care how much you tell me you love Jesus. If you're not coming together for the purposes of fulfilling your duty to God and your fellow man, then you're not coming together or in the name of Christ or in pure religion or anything. And all the singing you do and jumping around and what hand waving and bowing and weeping, you might as well be weeping and gnashing of teeth because God's not going to hear you. He said that over and over again in the rule book. You know, when the people went and elected somebody who could exercise authority and fight their battles for them and provide for them by taking away from their neighbor, God said he's not going to hear their prayers in their day of calamity. He's not going to hear them. I don't care what you tell me you believe. Show me the fruits of what you believe. If you're not out there trying to practice pure religion, returning to your father's house as the prodigal sons you all are, then God's not going to hear you. And when a loaf of bread is $100, don't come whining to me. I told you. What you need to do is form congregations of record. Form that network that was the early church. The union and discipline of the early church was admired and feared, because these people were one for all and all for one. They cared about each other enough to come together. They didn't go to church to feel good. They went to church to do good. And they couldn't do enough. But God would run out and meet those people halfway, and they would have the miracles you will not see. So anyway, everybody went into bondage in Egypt, into a Corvi system of statutory bondage. You can call it slavery, you can call it servitude, but forcing a man to work without full benefit of his labor, muzzling the ox so that another does not have to labor, is still bondage and should be considered it either moral or social or political wrong by whatever party is out there, including all you individuals, whatever religion you are. In order to provide the housing for the homeless, some have deemed it wise to take from others by force, to provide benefits for others, and they applaud this. They think this is great. But that's not what made America great. What made America great is that, you know, I remember a story of a widow who lived near a guy, a farmer. And as she got older, he would make sure she had enough food. He would walk over, he didn't drive over in those days, he'd walk all the way over to her place and bring food and check on her. And the older she got, she wanted her independence, she wanted to live in that place, so he went there. We've told people, old people, that if it gets too much for them, we'll take them into our house, as if they were our own grandparents. We should be doing this as a church on a regular basis, not with tax dollars. You can't do it unless you people get together and start the flow of love till it hurts. The system that you have taking care of the needy of your society today is not charity. And your society will not benefit from the virtue of charity. It is force. Therefore, your society will benefit from force. In other words, you will be under the first tyrant that comes along. And you deserve to be. And God's not going to come to your aid. He said that over and over again. It is exactly what Christ told us not to do. What you are doing is enslaving one class of citizen to benefit another and going against the perfect law of liberty. Lincoln continued in that same speech that we talked about, the one that he made back in 1858 in Edwardsville, Illinois. We were talking about that in the last episode of Social Path. That, let's see, did I lose my place here? This is our reliance is in the love of liberty which God hath planted in us. Our defense is in the spirit which prizes liberty as the heritage of all men, in all lands, everywhere. Destroy that spirit and you have planted the seeds of despotism at your own doors. Familiarize yourself with the chains of bondage and you prepare your own limbs to wear them. This is what that Proverbs, one purse. You know, if sinners entice thieves, let's all come together and have one purse. Lurk privately for the blood of the innocent. Sounds terrible when you put it that way. But they run towards evil. This is what he's talking about. When you think it's okay to take away from one class of citizen to provide for another, you are familiarizing yourself with the chains of bondage. and they will be on you. The net is spread before the bird, but he's still caught just the same. That's what that proverb goes on to say. It's the same thing. They're talking to you in Proverbs. You're not getting it. Now, if you're getting it when I'm telling you, why aren't you forming congregations of record, contributing to them regularly, encouraging and rebuking your ministers to start providing for the needy of society, and start bringing other generous, kind, loving people into a network with the union and discipline of the early church and not the foolishness and fracking of the modern church? I haven't used that word, fracking. It's usually in relationship to oil mining. What is fracking? It's breaking you apart from the inside. You see, if you don't follow the ways of Christ, you will be destroyed. You'll be weakened. You will be ruptured spiritually, genetically, from the inside. But if you will follow in the ways of Christ, you will be a foe to the armies of Pharaoh. Just a spiritual presence that will scare the bejesus out of them. But modern Americans do not love liberty as much as they love license, especially when it guarantees that men who call themselves benefactors will have the power to exercise authority to force your neighbor to provide for what they want. That's what you're doing. Health care to public schools. Yeah, you can't have public schools and have a free nation. Absolutely diametrically opposed to a free nation. Well, what are we going to do then? Homeschool. And if you form congregations, homeschooling can get easier and easier. You can't imagine the success of your society if you actually came together in real congregations and a network of congregations that of people who cared as much about you as they do themselves. Wow, real Christians. Wouldn't you like to gather with those kind of guys? Americans do not even know what a free society looks like, since it has been so long since they lived in one. To even suggest that they have a long time ago lost their freedom is unthinkable to most of them. Oh, we're the freest country in the world. Oh, it used to be, but you aren't anymore. It's rapidly changing. Rapidly, rapidly changing, and you won't see it because you've so conformed to its ways. It's going to be too late by the time most people wake up. But those of you who wake up, you've got something you can do. Start gathering together with others who are waking up. And yes, that process of gathering together will thin out your numbers, but it will also bring in more. It's like mining gold out of a mountain. You mine tons and tons of dirt, and you wash it, and you shake it, and you rattle it, and you tumble it. And you wash it some more. And you crush it. And then you wash it some more. And then the gold starts settling in the bottom of your sluice box. And you start seeing it. And then you gather it together in a jar and you say, wow. Well, that's what we're looking for, is the gold of society. And then it's going to be tried in fire. That's the program. That's the plan. That's what we've been told. You're not ready for that. And if you really care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself, you're going to start that process, that mining process. I understand it would be preferable to imagine that you are still free, but that is not the truth. And you need to know the truth and the whole truth and prepare for it, just like Patrick Henry. But you don't live in the days of Patrick Henry. You live in another world. If any American did desire freedom, few of them know what to do to obtain that liberty, and fewer would do what it takes to obtain it, even if you explained it to them. But again, we're looking for the gold. The gold will. But I believe amongst the people, and this is what I write here, the people of the world, There are all kinds of people that will see this. Now, there will be more when things get tight, but you need to start moving in this direction now. The first thing, though, we must admit is that we made the mistakes and the error with our own change and our own way of dealing with problems of society. So anyway, to give you a little bit better idea, and I tell you, join the Living Network, that's the key element, but go to us at hisholychurch.org and join the network, or go to us at thelivingnetwork.org and you'll be taken to preparing you and join the network in your area. Pick a contact minister, what we call a PCM, a personal contact minister, or find a core near you. And the personal contact minister is to help you. We don't just put everybody's name there on the net. The personal contact ministers who are volunteers, you can even volunteer for that. And they can see the names who are in the local group. And they can collect their information, you know, where they are and all this kind of stuff. So that we can join you up together and you can start forming congregations of record. You don't have to live next door to each other in order to start those congregations of record. We can call each other. We can talk on the phone. We can actually go and meet. The important thing is that you start canvassing your area to find that rare gold and silver and the precious metal that are out there in the mountain of people that have the ways of God already written on their hearts and their minds, but they need to practice it. And that's what you need to do. And there are many layers to all this. And we're not going to share all of them on the radio. We don't share all of them on the net. But we will share them with you in the Living Network. So anyway, we're going to start a series on The Higher Liberty, which is a book I wrote about Romans 13. And Romans 13 is really so simple. It is just unbelievably simple. All it is definition of words. If you change the definition of words, you won't understand what Paul's saying. Once you you put it in the context of the history, you put it in the context of the language, you actually look up the definitions of words. It's not a secret. You can find these. And I started with a single article, and somebody quoted the article, and then a theologian at a seminary, you know, had a beef with the guy who was quoting my article. He didn't say anything about me, but he brought up things like Koine Greek and all this stuff. Well, I took his article and ended up writing this whole darn book, showing you that all of his arguments just blew holes in them. The 12-gauge approach. Because I could just show you. It's right in history, right in the facts, right in the books. It's got the footnotes. So anyway, on the cover of the book, it says The Higher Liberty, but it has a picture that was drawn originally by Julius somebody or other. I can't remember his last name. I think it starts with an S. But anyway, famous artist. And they're all in public domain, and I didn't know what else to put on it. But it's a picture of, you know, supposedly the slaves in Egypt. They got little pyramids in the background, so you know it's in Egypt. And they show a woman throwing her child off of, or somebody's throwing her child off of a precipice. And, of course, one of the problems in the days of the bondage of Egypt is abortion, believe it or not. And they tell you that in the New Testament because they use the word prephos, describing that the children, and then they talk about Moses being timely generated, etc. And if you go back to the things like Hippocratic Oath and all this kind of stuff, they had what they call pessaries in those days to cause abortions. And the reason they were causing abortions is in the system of corvi and bondage, that you were taxed by the number of people in your household. And if you had lots of children, you had to pay more tax. And that tax was often paid by, you know, if you weren't wealthy, that tax would be paid by based on the number of months you would offer to work for the government. If you had lots of money, you could actually hire somebody else to do the work for you. But it was a burden on the family man. You know, it's kind of this one-child contract. They didn't want you to have children. They didn't mind you having daughters, or they didn't want you having sons. Because they were kind of afraid. The Israelites were a little bit organized even then as slaves, corvi. And we also, you know, we should be aware of this picture that was drawn for us on the big screen by Cecil B. DeMille, that all the Israelites were, you know, down in the mud pits. They did every kind of job there was. It's a very sophisticated civilization. And they all the gold and silver was in the treasury, and so you had some sort of script that they used, which was mostly these clay scarabs that have survived, but they probably had papyrus script. But papyrus is a very soft medium and wouldn't hold up very much. They may have had other things. They talk about claws, you know, stitch claws and stuff that could be used, and clay tablets. But these little scarabs they used as money. And so if you left Egypt, you pretty much left broke because you didn't have access to any gold or silver, and the scarabs weren't of any value anywhere else. Foreign traders would come in and buy wheat and things from Egypt, and they would deal in substance, commodity money. But the average guy, he didn't have that. And there's a huge debate about who Moses was, and maybe we'll talk about that some other time. But to go on in this book, we talk about the adversaries of God has twisted words to deceive mankind from the very beginning of our dominion on this planet. For his own selfish purpose, the adversaries of God have attempted to alter the world we live in by altering our perspective of the ways of God and tempted us to depart from those ways of God. And those ways of God have actually been the same from the beginning, but the words we use to describe them can confuse us if we alter the definition of those words. So anyway, we kind of have before us a kind of a Gordian knot, this tangled mess of misinformation. And how do we open it up? Well, this Romans 13, addressing Romans 13 in this book, is kind of cutting that Gordian knot. And the Gordian knot was, of course, the knot that Alexander the Great was supposed to untie to prove that he was qualified to lead the troops of Greece, and he just pulled out his sword and cut it in two, and so they followed him. But there's no end to what you could do if you actually understand the kingdom of God, the keys to the kingdom. We are to seek the kingdom of God, the right to be ruled by God, and have no other ruling judges, ruling gods before the God of heaven and earth. We are to tend to the weightier matters of law, justice, mercy, and faith. This is what Christ said. That was the weightier matters, law, justice, mercy, and faith, by way of the perfect law of liberty through faith, hope, and charity. That's the key to liberty, to the perfect law of liberty. That's the key. You don't want to go that way? Can't help. If you want to go that way, we can help each other. And so anyway, there's lots of chapters in this. We broke all these chapters down into actually like one or two pages so that the ideas and thoughts that are represented in the book can be kind of chewed on. I didn't want long rambling pages. I could have made the book easily twice as big, but I wanted it short and brief so you get to the point. And the first chapter, of course, is Romans 13. What was Paul attempting to say in his epistle to the Romans? In the King James Version of the Bible, chapter 13 begins, "Let every soul be subject unto higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Now, of course, a lot of other translations say government. But what is this powers, this word powers? It's the same word over and over again. What is it? What does it mean? And this is the key. And it's really not hard to look this word up and how it was used at that time and what it meant. A common interpretation of this verse appears in the Living Bible. Obey the government. That's quite a bit different. For God is the one who has put it there. There is no government anywhere that God has not placed in power. So those who refuse to obey the laws of the land are refusing to obey God, and punishment will follow. Except that's not what it says at all, and that's not what that word means at all. And that is, it's completely manufactured, and it's one of the worst translations you can imagine. But they actually have that out there, and that is based on preconceived notions. It's not based on the definition of the words, and it doesn't even make any sense. If you had to turn in Jews in Germany, should you turn in Jews? If you were supposed to execute gypsies in Germany, if you were supposed to execute the disabled in Germany, you know, do you have to do that? Because, I mean, you're telling me that God put that government there. Pol Pot. Yeah, I actually had a guy in church tell me. Actually, my son says, well, what about Pol Pot? And he says, oh, we have to obey him. And we marched 3 million people out of Phnom Penh and had children shooting their parents by the order of Pol Pot, the killing fields. Millions died. So that was okay. That's what God was wanted? No, you had to obey, but you have to shoot your parents. No, it's absurd. It's ridiculous. And it doesn't take that far to figure out that it's ridiculous. No, it means something entirely different than what we are being led to believe by these liars in white collars. And we'll talk about that when we return to Keys to the Kingdom.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean, and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So why is the church even talking about government? Because the church is a government. It's defined as a government in Black's Law Dictionary, one form of government. And of course, the Bible is about government. Cain left the presence of God to create his own city-state. Right? I mean, Nimrod, that was a government. Egypt, Israel, Babylon, all these things are governments. It's about your relationship with those governments. And this idea that you can blame all governments for everything, or blame God for all governments, is ridiculous. God told you to elect Saul was a rejection of him. Moses told you that if you elect a king, you know, you choose somebody who could exercise authority, that's all a king is. That you were to put four or five things down in your constitution that he was to read or have read to him daily by your Levite ministers so that he would not violate these precepts. He wasn't to have a standing army. He wasn't to have, force the contributions of the people. He wasn't to do all the things that they're allowed to do. He wasn't to accumulate gold and silver. He wasn't to accumulate horses, which is just like a cavalry is what they're talking about. They don't care if he's a horse farmer. These are all metaphors. And if you fiddle with the words, and it's very easy to do in Hebrew, very easy to do in Hebrew, because the same word for reins of control is the same word for kidney. So you can do all kinds of fiddling with the meanings with Hebrew. Greek gets a little bit harder, but they do it. Because they'll take one word and they'll translate it 10 different ways. Or they'll take four or five different Greek words and translate them all into the exact same English word whenever they want. So that can lead to an awful lot of confusion. But really, you don't need any of these things. It should be written on your heart. The Bible is just to bear witness to it. If you don't have the Spirit of God, flesh and blood is not going to reveal this to you. The Spirit reveals it. Christ said he's going to build his church on revelation. Not revelation the book. Revelation in you. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because you know this not because flesh and blood has revealed it to you, but by my Father in heaven who has revealed it to you. That's it. That's what he's going to build his church. Upon that rock, that faith, I will build my church. So what's God telling you? Because if he isn't telling you what I'm telling you, then I can't help you. Because of what I see, I see. While it's not right to sin, we have the right to choose to sin. We have the right to choose to sin. But when you choose sin, you're going to suffer the repercussions of it, and you don't have any choice about that. God gave you choice. You can eat of the tree of life or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Your choice. But if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you don't have any choice anymore. You're going to die. You can go make any decision you want based on your knowledge of good and evil, but you're going to die. It's not going to work out for you. You've been doing it right along. You can choose to do wrong. You have the right to choose to do wrong, but you don't have a right to choose to do wrong and escape the consequences of what you chose. You don't have that right. And I don't care how big a government you create, they can't protect you from the repercussions of your choice to sin. You can't get away from it. It's built into the system. And that's why people form governments, is to get away with sinning. To protect them. That's why they want health care. That's why they want all these other things. To protect them from the repercussions of sin. The consequences of sin. Governments are created by men. They're not created by God. God allows men the power, the right, or the liberty to create government. But when you do, it may be considered a rejection of God, as it was when you elected Saul, but not with impunity. You can do these things, but not with impunity. There are many forms of government that are in opposition to God and God's way. Man must go out of the presence of God, rejecting God, to create those kinds of government. And that's what Cain did. He went out and created a civil government. A city-state. These governments are formed in the image, in the character of Satan, who is the adversary of God. Even those governments may serve God's purpose, though, by punishing the wicked who formed them. That's right. The governments of the world are there to punish the wicked. Who are the wicked? The people who created the governments of the world. Why did they create the governments of the world? Because they would not live according to the ways of God. If you lived according to the ways of God and you loved your neighbor as yourself and you helped out the poor and needy in your society, why would anybody sign up for a government that does the same thing by force? Why would you have to? Why would you want to give power to somebody to force your neighbor to help your neighbor when your neighbor was already helping your neighbor? You see, our minds are clouded. We had a strong delusion. We allowed this to happen because we had already rejected God. There were many people around who said, oh, no, don't go that way. Don't, no, this is terrible. But nobody listened to them. Very few. And now, 50, 60, 100 years later, nobody can even remember that somebody raised an objection. And we tell all about some of the objections that were raised in the book, but God even forbid man from making covenants with those governments or bowing down or serving them. What are we talking about? Exodus 34:12. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. Also, Exodus 23:32 and Exodus 34:15. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land and they go a whoring after their gods. Now, what are their gods? Ruling judges. The word there for gods is the word for ruling judges. Who's the ruling judges in your nation? Who's the ruling judges? You know, the Supreme Court, they're gods. They're ruling judges. They didn't make themselves God. Somebody appointed them. Somebody who is the apotheos. And we talk about this. Go read God's Many on the net. That's an office. That's a political office. Apotheos. Appointer of gods. Caesar was an appointer of gods. Augustus was. He actually requested the office. What did he do? What did he do as an appointer of God? He appointed the federal judges. This is just history. I'm not making this up. George Washington is the apotheos of the United States. He appointed the judges. They were ratified by Congress, but he appointed them. He was the apotheos of the United States. Apotheos. And they painted a picture of George Washington in the Capitol Dome. You know what it's called? Apotheos of Washington. You know what it says about it on the U.S. government website that talks about the Capitol Dome, the painting? It says it raises Washington to the rank of God. That's right. Theos is the word God. Apotheos, appointer of gods. That's all they're talking about in the Bible. You're not supposed to be making covenants with them or their gods and bowing down and serving them and do sacrifice unto those gods, their gods. And one called thee, and thou eat of that sacrifice. What would that be? How would you eat of that sacrifice? Go to public schools. Take health care, welfare, unemployment. That's the eating of the sacrifices. Those are all provided by the sacrifices of those gods, those ruling judges, that you're whoring after, that you're prostituting yourselves with, and committing national adultery. Did you know that most of the time in the Bible when they talk about adultery, they're talking about national adultery? Where you whore after these gods, these ruling judges. Why do you do that? For the benefits. The benefits are great. That's what you've done. Now, you don't want to believe that. Well, we're going to go through the whole darn book. And we'll show you. That this is what's been going on from the time began. Matthew 4:8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms, all the governments of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee. I guess they own them. I had a Jehovah's Witness come one time. Should I turn this into a parable? And they, because we're at the end of that, the first chapter. We already got through this first chapter. There's just lots of chapters. They're one-page chapters a lot of times. The next one is social contract. But anyway, I was talking to these Jehovah's Witnesses, and they usually avoided our house like a plague. And one time they didn't realize I was home. And actually, I guess this was, I think, one of the first times where they must have put a black spot on my house or something, because they stopped coming after this. But anyway, they came, and, you know, and I was very, you know, agree with that adversary. So that's very good. You know, I like a lot of the things that Jehovah's Witnesses do. I mean, they won't do military service, you know, and, you know, a lot of them have gone to jail for that. And, you know, and they stood up for what they, quote, unquote, believe. But I was commending them for that. And I can't actually remember how the conversation went, but I was manipulating them because I know what they believe in. So anyway, but I was always agreeing with them, and I pointed out, I says that because you don't support these wars and stuff like that, and you don't want to go and kill your people in other countries and all this kind of stuff, and I says I commend that, but you still buy the bullets and the bombs that they're thrown on these other countries, even though you won't do the military service. You're still buying the equipment and the bullets and all this stuff. And they, of course, said, well, we have to pay our taxes. And I said, you know, you're absolutely right. You have to pay your taxes. I mean, you've got an agreement to pay your taxes, and you owe the government, and you should give to Caesar what is Caesar. You know, you're right again. I'm agreeing with him. I says, but what if I could show you a way where you didn't have to buy so many bombs and bullets? I mean, you would still, you know, support the roads and all those other things, but you wouldn't have to do the other and not break the law. I said, would you be interested in that? And they, because we had already agreed that the government's all owned by Satan, and they said, yeah, well, we would do that. I says, give up your social security number. And oh man, all hell broke loose. They said, we don't want to do that. We get lots of benefits. They said it right out. We get a lot of benefits with that number. And I said, oh, you don't mind working for Satan as long as the benefits are good. Well, they couldn't get out of there. They were running to the car. I never seen a Jehovah's Witness run so fast. I don't want to pick on the poor Jehovah's Witness. The fact is, all you guys are doing this. You've all made your covenants with these gods, and you have to bow down and serve them. And you do. You have to pay your tally of bricks. You've signed up with Egypt and the Pharaoh because you didn't have provisions for yourself, or you didn't want to take the time to make them. You've all rejected God, and you've elected Sauls and Caesars of the world. And they rule over you, and they take a bite out of you. And they take a bite out of you because all your neighbors are devouring little beasties, hungry to take a bite out of you too. And they should, and I hope it hurts, because then you might repent. of your social contract. Now, you can't just do away with it. That's what everybody wants to do. Well, I just rescinded my contracts. You tell me where in business you can just cancel a contract. Tell me where in business when the person you've contracted with has incurred debt in providing those benefits, you can just cancel the contract and not pay the debt. Show me where that makes any sense in any legal system in the world. You're in bondage. You have to pay your tally of bricks. But there is a way out if you follow the ways of Moses and Christ. You haven't done that. That is revolutionary, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Nothing more revolutionary than that. And you start by forming congregations of record and start loving the people in that group and loving the people in the next group just as much. If you could start doing that, walking that path, you would be walking the ways of Christ. Then when you tell me you believe in Jesus, I might believe you because I see the fruits of Jesus in what you're doing. I don't see it now. So anyway, social contract, chapter 2. Social contracts make use of at least two legal concepts of structures. One can be called a trust, and the other is a corporation. Now, the reason I go into this is so that you can understand what I just told you before. Governments cannot exist unless men create them. Man may vest something of himself into the forming of a government. As God formed man and breathed life into him, so also man, being made in the image of God, may form governments by breathing life into them, into their body, or into their body politic. Now, how did they do this? They formed trusts and corporations. All corporations. What is a corporation? A corporation is two or more people gathered together under a pre-existing authority as if they were one person for a particular purpose. That's a corporation. Well, that's a family, too. You see, all government is based on the principle or concept of the family, which is why Jesus said, call no man father upon the earth, but my Father who art in heaven. Because at that time, in that Roman crowd that he was speaking to, they all knew that the emperor was called Patronus, our Father, who art in Rome. Hallowed be thy name. Thy benefits come when we apply to you. But if we apply to you, we go under your authority, just like we did in the days of Egypt. That's the way it works. Always worked that way. It's nothing new. You just don't want to admit that you've done it. Sorry. I'm bringing you glad tidings if you will receive the truth, but you will not call them glad tidings if you do not love the truth. You will call them, you know, an evil, bad thing that he is saying. Because he's telling us that we're all slaves. Well, get used to disappointment. You are. And we may also give something of value to men we trust for a particular purpose whereby the government becomes a trust. That's the other aspect. You give contributions to the government. Contributions to the government, and they're held in trust. What are the terms of that trust? Some of you have written up really bad terms. But anyway, if what we give is given entirely, it may be called a sacred purpose trust. Why sacred? Sacred means separate. You know, like in most churches, when they give money to the church, many of the men in the church can actually be on the board of directors and they can run around the other side and they can tell the church how to spend the money. Well, they didn't really give it all away. They gave it to the church, but they were going to decide what to do with it. So it isn't really sacred. It's only sacred if you give it up entirely. But there's another kind of trust, where you give somebody the right to decide how much you're going to give. Now, that's really stupid. You wouldn't think anybody would fall for that. I'm going to make an agreement with you that you get to decide how much money I'm going to give you every week. Sound like a good deal? But I'm not going to have the power to make you do what I want you to do for that money. You get to do it or not do it, that doesn't make any difference. You get to keep taking from me, and you can actually increase the amount you take from me. That sounds like a good deal. No, duh. You are the dumb as a post if you would make that agreement, but that's the agreement almost everybody has made. They don't realize when they made that agreement. And the fact is this has been a long time in coming because your parents have sold you into bondage. But in the natural law, your parents can do that. You see, so you are stuck. But again, there is a way out. And it requires quantum physics to make it happen. We'll get into that too. But right now, let's just understand that these two aspects of corpus, something given into a body, and trust, something given. So these two elements, they're kind of co-mingled because it all comes in together. So the kind of government you have depends on when you give a contribution to it, are you simply giving that thing entirely, where you no longer have any say-so over the thing, but you're never giving your right to decide to give tomorrow, or the next day, or the next day. You can stop giving anytime you want, because that kind of government is a free government. Anything other than that is not a free government. Unless you want to talk about freedom as a matter of relativity. Well, it's more free than that government over there, so it must be free. No, it's not. See, the church is the kind of government where you give to the church, and you give it freely and completely. You burn it up. It's not yours anymore at all. What you gave away 100% to a minister, and he must go out and use it wisely, and you keep an eye on him. But when he wants something the next time, you don't have to give to him. Because the power of choice, the original power of choice, the higher power of choice remains with you. Because we're instructed to let every man remain subject to the higher power, the original power of choice. We're not to exercise authority over your choice. You see, that's a different kind of government than what you see out in the world. Because out in the world, you give them the power to choose. Now, when they gave the power to the Pharaoh to choose, he could choose what he wanted to do with the money, but he could only choose to take 20%, one-fifth. But that's not the deal most people are making. They say, well, we'll give you 1%, 1.25%, but you can change it if you want, and then now it's over 14%, which is more than the serfs had to pay to the Tsar of Russia during the worst periods of time of Tsarist Russia. They never had to pay more than 10%. But today you pay 14% individually. You say, well, my employer, he pays a part of that. Well, he just takes it out of the money he would have paid you. He figures that into your wages. I'm just giving you history so that you understand this in relationship to the Bible. You have to pay. You're in bondage. But if you will follow this concept of social contract, which we will start again, and we'll go over it again because it's really hard for you to get it into your head. But when you get it in there, then we'll show you the way to the kingdom. Because this system will fail. It's going to fail. Till then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.